You know, we had a prophetic word Friday night. And the Spirit was telling us and how the Lord is trying to position us and prepare us because of the flood that's coming. And he showed me that the flood was like below our ankle right now. And this is the flood of the enemy. And it will come to our necks. So he's preparing his children. And Saturday morning, I believe it was Saturday, I turned on the news and I saw Kentucky get basically almost wiped out. I mean, not all of it, but a river, one of their main rivers, overflowed 8 feet above the river. And I was like, oh, Daddy. You know, when you're in the Spirit and you're speaking things and the Spirit shows you things, you don't fully understand what's up. Then you see manifestations or confirmations of what's going on. And the Lord shared with me, he said, listen, I'm showing you this because a lot of my children are going to fall if they don't get right. If they don't get into that place and position. And you know, one of the things the Lord says is he desires none of his children to perish. And it's not just about falling. You know, people think that falling is going back to the old ways. And I'm not saying that it's not about that. But much of the falling that's happening is people doing their own will and not the will of God. That's the difference. They're being led by what they feel instead of being led by what their calling is or their purpose or their destiny. Amen. And in this area where there's so much more spiritual fight, because, you know, your fight's harder today than it was yesterday. But it's easier today than it will be tomorrow. So there's an area where we've got to not only learn, but discern our enemy. We also have to get into the place where we have such relationship that no matter what is going on around us, we can grab hold of God and not let go. You know, no matter what. So God is really bringing us through this area and these teachings and warnings and so forth. And God had been warning us. I mean, I've seen people go right out. You know, the Bible tells us that individuals will have itchy ears searching places to fulfill what they want to hear and not what the truth is. And we see that happening in a powerful way. You know, there's an area right now where this flood is beginning to promote self in such a way where people begin to lose their gratefulness and gratitude. You know, I'm always reminded of the lepers that Jesus healed, and only one came back and worshipped him. And the other, I think there was 10 of them, and the other 9 went their way. In other words, God is exposing those who are using him. You know, many people use God to get out of trouble, to get things and so forth. And once they get what they've gotten, then they go. And they go astray. But those are the ones that are not coming back and worshiping the Lord and saying, thank you. They're the ones that are not giving their lives to God. And God is going to expose them even in a greater way. Why? God does exposure so that the individual can come back. It's not about punishment. It's about so the individual can see himself, because the individuals in this time of arena, you know, Satan's greatest weapon is deception. So what he does is he deceives God's children. You know, he's not going after the lost, he's going after the saved. And so many people are more concerned about the lost, and don't get me wrong, there is a concern about the lost. But you being the saved, carry the truth and the glory of God. It's you that's going to rescue the lost. Amen. It's you that's going to rescue the lost. It's your witness. It's your conduct. It's your testimony. And it's the anointing that's on your life that's going to rescue the lost. But in the meantime, what the enemy's trying to do, he's attacking the saved. He attacks the saved and uses the lost. Does everybody got it? Say, he attacks the saved and he uses the lost. So in this, there is a place where God has a divine protection for his children. There's a divine place for me and you that he allows us. It's like going to a Holy Ghost playground. You know, where all the swings are there and everything is there. Everything is there available for me and you. And we are covered. Turn to Psalm 91 for a second. Hallelujah. Everybody say, I am divinely protected. Oh, hallelujah. In Psalm 91, would you read verse 1 with me? He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The shadow of the Almighty is the hedge of protection. You are hedged. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will what? I will trust. Here's a place where you are hedged, you are protected. You know, the world uses organized crime figures as a protection, you know. I mean, they go to this, you know, Godfather, you know. Come on, man, you know. Hey, you got to pay for protection, right? But I'm telling you, the Father, God the Father is not Godfather. He's God the Father. Amen. And he paid the price where it doesn't cost you nothing. Amen. There's a difference. The only thing, of course, he requires from me and you is our cooperation. Amen. Amen. You want to be protected? You are protected. You are divinely protected. But one of the things that the enemy tries to do is convince you that you're not. What he'll do is he'll shoot you with fiery darts and all kinds of stuff to try to draw you out of the secret place. Once you've walked out of the secret place, you've walked out of God's protection. So there is an area where we must know boundaries. We have a wonderful teaching called Boundaries of Worldliness. And we must know the unction of God and the voice of God. We also must know who our enemy is and how he operates. See, it's amazing in how God will reveal things to you when you think that it's your thoughts already and you're making all these plans. And all of a sudden the Lord says, no. See, there's divine intervention. Amen? Divine intervention, right? Come on up here. Come on, tell them what happened. Divine intervention. Go ahead.
What about Sunday?
Yeah.
All right, divine intervention. This is what happened. Sunday meeting, we was here. We worshiping. I'm worshiping. I'm feeling it like a usual Sunday. And the whole time I'm here, the devil's got a plan going on in my mind, setting it all up. How I'm going to leave and do this, you know what I mean? And still come to church, but yeah, I'm lying to myself, you know, because it would be so easy for me to fall. And the Lord told me to come up and get prayed over. And what happened? The Holy Spirit worked through Pastor. And he healed me.
What did the Holy Spirit tell you?
That the devil was a liar. Amen. And he had a plan.
And he had a plan. When he came up, the Holy Spirit said, you've got a plan. He exposed the plan. Not verbatim, but he exposed and said to him, you got a plan. And it wasn't going to work. Now, that's divine intervention, isn't it? Amen. Thanks. That's divine intervention. Now, that was the gift of the Spirit and revelation knowledge. Does everybody understand it? What did he do? He exposed the enemy's plan because he didn't see it. What was the devil trying to do? Move him out of God's protection. Do you understand that? He was trying to move him out of God's protection. You know, I can't express enough, and it blows my mind. It really blows my mind. And how many believers of God, how many children of God just walk out of God's protection after they get what they came for, and then they think, that's that. How many people lose their healings? How many people lose their deliverance? How many people lose their families? Because they think, that's it. And they walk right out of God's hedge of protection. Remember, he says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. He who dwells. In other words, it's our responsibility to dwell in this place. It's our responsibility. You know, I was praying one morning, and I get goofy visions now and then. And I saw the Lord there in this beautiful suit. And I was a little child. And I was, you know how kids grab onto your legs, you know? When you're walking, you're doing this. And they grab onto your legs. And I was grabbing onto the legs of the Lord. And he had this beautiful three-piece suit on, really sharp. I didn't ask him where he got it, but, you know. They must have had Holy Ghost tailors, you know. But it fit him perfectly. And he was standing there, and he was just really cool looking. And I was this little child, and I grabbed onto his leg, and I'm like, I'm not letting go. I felt like a little child who grabbed onto his daddy's leg and say, man, you know how many kids, I remember trying to sneak in my dad's car, you know, when he went to work. You ain't leaving me here, you know. Man, I'd get in his car, he'd go to work, he'd have to take me back home, you know. Because I wasn't leaving my dad, you know. And we've got to do that with Jesus. We have to just grab hold of him. Because in this place of protection. And you know, one of the things that so many people have brought into the present is the relationships with their families in their past. And it's hindered them because they have a hard time in that respect of relationship with a father who abused them and a father who protected them or a father who lied to them. Does everybody understand that? But I'm telling you, we've got to come out of the things of the past, because if you're a new creation in Christ, all things have passed away and all things have become new. You've got to begin to look just like how Jesus wants you to see. Amen? It's a total different thing now. Totally different. It's got your natural father ain't your father no more. Your natural mother ain't your mother no more. That's over with. You got a new mommy and daddy. It's over with. Your father of heaven and your mother, they're the same. Amen? He's your everything now. You grab hold of him and you're protected. But I'm telling you, the devil will try to sway you out of God's protection. He tries to lead you out. Oh, come on. Oh, come on. You know, he tries to get into that soulish arena of emotion. Or he tries to get in that arena of fear to try and move you out. Turn to Philippians 4, please. Oh, hallelujah. Wherever the Holy Spirit's leading, we're going. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Philippians chapter 4. Oh, hallelujah. You're going to get exposed again, devil, so. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody there? Would you read Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6? Be what? Anxious for a couple of things. Be anxious for 10 things. Be anxious for one thing. Oh, wait a minute now. I mean, come on now. Does everybody get this? It says, be anxious for what? Well, how many are nothing? Zero. Be anxious for nothing. I mean, absolutely zippo. Nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Nothing, nothing, and nothing equals nothing. Even my daughter can figure that one out. Be anxious for nothing. Now think about how many regretful choices you made by being anxious for something. Even the littlest thing. I mean, even the littlest thing that you missed because you were anxious for something. That is the number one thing that will move you out of the hedge of protection is anxiety. And the enemy knows it. He'll move you out of God's protection just like that. And the next thing you know, you are like, you be having your helmet of salvation on backwards. You know, you be dragging your shield of faith. And your pants be down around your knees because your truth of belt's gone. And you be so wounded and beat up, you won't know which way to go. And the enemy is just beating you up more and more. See, he convinces you to do something, then he beats you up for listening to him. That's his job. And he does it well. And he's going to get a reward for doing it at the end. Hallelujah. It says, be anxious for nothing, but what? In a couple things. So, in everything by what? Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. In other words, this is going to surpass your understanding. So you don't have to wait outside of the hedge of protection to figure it out to get back in. Hello. Is everybody with me? See, too many people are trying to figure out everything. If I was to try to figure out what God was going to do, how he was going to do it, and when he was going to do it, he would never do it. Amen? Because remember, if you're in it, he's not. If you're out of it, he's in it. Oh, hallelujah. That's why he says, acknowledge me in all of your ways. So we're to be anxious for nothing but in everything in prayer and supplication. Making your requests known to God and peace that will surpass all understanding. So that means you do not have to figure everything out. Amen. The most important thing in your walk is to constantly grab hold of God. Why? Because as you grab hold of him, the Bible says he grabs hold of you. That's what it's all about. There are people who do not even know the word of God. But you know what? They're closer to the Lord than some of those who know the word. Because you know what? The word has caused them to rely on what they know instead of who they know. It's a totally different walk. It's brought them in the arena of religiosity instead of the arena of relationship. And those who are bound by religiosity, remember the Bible says that the letter what? Kills, and the Spirit brings. All those who are being killed by the letter are going to be washed away. I see it happening. I get calls every... I like to get up on a loud speaker with a gazillion watts and tell everybody, because I get calls daily. I'm telling you, it's heart-wrenching to know the deception, to know that people, God's children, came to get something, they got it, and they didn't turn around and thank him. And that flood of the enemy came in and moved them out. And let me tell you something, if the person doesn't get out of that flood quickly, he keeps going, going, and you know how hard it is to come back. You know, many of us who've backslidden, man, you know how hard it was to come back. You know it. And then when you come back, it's difficult to get that breakthrough for a period of time. But you know what? God is faithful. Why? Because God is saying, now you better hold on to me. You better learn how to hold on to me. None of your theology or nothing else. I am the person who created you. I am the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I am the God and the Master of all things. And you better grab hold on to me. And that's just the way it is. Amen. You can't grab hold on a man. You can't grab hold on a spouses. You can't grab hold on a money. You can't grab hold on your job. You got to grab hold of the Creator and the Master of the universe. The one who holds time and created it. Amen. See, one of the things that the enemy begins to do is he begins to push you into anxiousness because he tells you God can't do it in time. Hello? He can't do it. You know, in other words, I can do it quicker. No. And as soon as you grab hold of that, you just walk. See, it's like when the Bible says that we walk by faith, right? So we're walking with the Lord stops and you keep walking. And you just begin doing whatever you think and you think God is with you. Because the Bible says, well, God will never forsake you nor leave you. Well, he won't, but it don't mean he's walking with you. Amen. And what happens if we walk right out of the hedge of protection, right out of the secret place of the Most High, we begin to rely on our knowledge and our intellect and all of these other things, and the enemy's telling you, oh, you're doing a good job. Oh, you're just doing a good job. And he comes to you in that familiar spirit voice, hi, I'm the Holy Spirit. Come on, let me tickle you. You feel that goosebump? Yeah, that's... Listen, man, we had goosebumps when we saw demons. People got goosebumps when they were afraid. Ah! Their hair stood up and they got new hairdos. All kinds of things happen. Goosebumps don't always mean it's the presence of the Lord. Hello? That's people who are led by how they feel instead of led by the truth. That opens the door for demonic activity. Go to Colossians chapter 2. Oh, hallelujah. Colossians. I just want to thank you. Colossians chapter 2. Everybody there? Verse 11, please. And read it with me. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Having what? Wiped away the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Now here it is. You ready for this? Having what? Disarmed principalities and powers. Say that again. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Now listen, if he has disarmed them, why are they still hitting you? Because we walk out of his protection. Come on, does everybody get it? It doesn't, listen, when you are walking and when the weather starts, you know, coming, it starts raining, you know, and stuff, and all of a sudden you're getting wet, aren't you? Amen. So somebody pulls out an umbrella. What happens? They just got underneath the hedge of protection, didn't they? But it doesn't mean that it's not raining everywhere. Hello? It doesn't mean it's not raining. You're just protected. And that's what it's about when you're walking with the Lord. When you're walking close with the Lord, you're under a hedge of protection, but the enemy will move you right out. He'll suck you right out of that protection by works of the flesh, by desires and so forth, by deception. He'll cause you to walk right out from underneath that protection. But see, here it is, it says that Jesus already disarmed the principalities. He already disarmed the powers of darkness. He disarmed them. So while you're walking in this hedge of protection is when you have dominion over them. In fact, the Bible says, he who hides in a secret place, the angels are going to bear you up, right? You're going to trample on the serpents and scorpions and so forth. So here's a place of dominion. Here's a place of authority. Here's a place of favor. In God's protection, that's why the Bible says that you are my fortress and my refuge. When you begin to do things in the flesh and walk out of God's protection, all of these things just left you. Is everybody with me? You know, and sometimes we sense it. You can sense it in your spirit. You know, the problem is that because we become dull, you know, because the enemy's working on you, and you become dull, you're already walked out of that protection far enough where you don't recognize it until way later. But if you're sensitive enough in the spirit, you're going to make two steps out of that protection and go, wait a minute, no, no, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. You know, I mean, that's when you begin to struggle within yourself, when you're trying to reason, you know, well, maybe I should, well, maybe I should, well, you know, yeah, that sounds, yeah, let me call such and such. Well, such and such, what do you think about this? Well, you know, it sounds good to me. I mean, nobody prayed, you know, nobody waited on God. They just, okay, so they both walk out of protection now. You know, the Bible does tell us that God is with us, isn't he? He'll never forsake us or leave us, but we forsake him and leave him. That's called denying Christ, walking from that hedge of protection. The enemy waits for you. He lures you out of the hedge of protection. I'm not talking about leaving a fellowship. I'm talking about leaving the presence of God. I'm talking about leaving your prayer life. I'm talking about picking up everything worldly instead of godly. Hallelujah. You know, oh, hallelujah. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Is everybody all right? In verse 18. We know, of course, that sin moves us out of God's protection, but, you know, when we sin, more people, and this may sound strange, more people move out of God's protection by anxiousness than sin. See, because once they've moved into anxiousness, they fall into sin. Is everybody with me? You know, because I got to do it now. Why? Because I want it. The big I. Sin does not move you out of protection. Anxiousness does, which produces sin. Everybody got it? Oh, hallelujah. Because see, the struggle comes to where me, I got to do it, you know. And if I don't get this now, well, I can't wait on God. I got to do this now. Well, then they become God. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 18, would you read it with me? We know that whoever is born of God does not sin. But he who has been born of God, what? Keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. Well, the only way the wicked one can't touch you is by being in the protection. Doesn't mean he ain't going to speak to you. Doesn't mean he's not going to tempt you. Says he can't touch you. You know, this really needs to get in your spirit that the devil cannot touch you unless you let him. You can't blame the devil for your falls. Because the Bible says he can't touch you. See, this has got to be such a reality to you that he can't touch you. Ever remember Hammer? Can't touch this. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Can't touch this. You got to tell the devil that. Can't touch this. Yeah. I'm telling you, sometimes that song comes to me when I'm getting attacked by the devil. All of a sudden I hear that song hammer. Can't touch this. And I'm going to start dancing when I'm driving. Nah, nah, nah. Hallelujah. I met him and, you know, hallelujah. I used to know a couple of his party buddies. Hallelujah. But I knew him born again. Hallelujah. Oh, to God be the glory. He's a powerful man of God now, man. I mean, you know, he's really going around now. You can't touch this. You know? Okay, verse 19. Would you read it with me? We know that we are of God and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Not the touch of the wicked one, the sway. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, what? Keep yourselves from idols. So you think idols might move you out of the protection of God? Amen. Amen. You know how many people now, oh yeah, I need help. Lost my family, did this, yes, okay, they come in. Praise God, yes, eat, feed, smell good, praise God, showered up, all cleaned up, getting a word, yes. And I begin to pray, oh, the Lord blesses them with something, yes, thank you, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the car, Lord. Thank you for the phone. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. Okay, praise God. All right, let's go to church. Praise God. No, I got to stay home and wash the car. Say what? No, man, I really need to stay. I need to take care of these things God blessed me with. Oh, you mean the idol now. You know, the Bible tells us that the blessings of the Lord can become a curse. The blessings of the Lord can become a curse to you. Why? Because they are now an idol. They're an idol. Hello? Oh, hallelujah. So these things will move you right out of God's hedge of protection. Go to Job. Oh. Yeah, the job section. The employment section. Job chapter 1. Hallelujah. Say, I'm divinely protected. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue that rises up against me, I will condemn. Because I'm a servant of the Most High God. In Jesus' name. Now listen, that scripture can only be fulfilled if you're walking under the hedge of protection. It cannot be fulfilled if you're walking out of the protection. In fact, most of the word won't be fulfilled if you're walking out of the protection. Okie dokie. Job chapter 1. In verse 6, would you read it with me? Now there was a day when the sons of God, which are angels, came to present themselves before the Lord's. And Satan also came among them. Now this is pretty interesting. Because the Bible says that Satan comes as a what? Angel of light. So he came as a son of God. But Jesus knew. Now you know what? You wonder if the other angels knew. Think about it. Daddy knew. Oh, you just wonder, well, because he comes as an angel of light. Well, maybe you wonder if the other angels knew who he was. So it says that all the sons of God came to appear before the Lord. Right? Man, if I was him, I would have been scared to death. For all the stuff he did. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? In other words, what are you doing here? And so Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? That there is none like him on the earth, blameless and upright, one who fears God and shuns evil. Now let me share something with you. If he would have mentioned any one of our names up there, we'd have been going, no, 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 not me. What are you making? No, we would have been hiding underneath doors, everything. Putting another angel in front of us. We'd have been, take him! Amen? And the Lord says, have you considered my servant Job? Now check this out. Not only have you considered him, but now he boasts about him. He said, he's a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. Whoa! You don't think Satan's tail went up and his horns grew another 6 inches? Amen? And he said, let me at him. Yeah, right. Now listen, here's his response. So Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Ooh. Have you not made a what? Oh man, Satan was upset. Have you not made a hedge around him? Around his household, around all that he has on every side. You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. And that's about me and you. That's what should be happening. When Satan comes before the Lord, he should be saying, have you considered my church? Who is blameless and upright? Who fears God and shuns evil? Who walks in the hedge of protection of the Lord because of what? He fears God, he shuns evil, and he walks upright. And God, see, in the hedge of protection is where the blessing is. In the hedge of protection is where the multiplication is. In the hedge of protection is where health is and everything else. Oh, hallelujah. And so he says, but now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. So Satan challenged the Lord. But I'm telling you right now, this is how God gets to Satan. I want you to really get this. This is how the Lord gets to Satan. See, we may be thinking that Job was being set up, but it was Satan that was being set up. Because see, one of the things Satan hates is an upright, blameless man. That tears him up even more because that's what he was created to become. So, see, you and I are fulfilling the place that was Lucifer's arena. With authority. He was God's right-hand man. So now you are. See, because you replaced him. He hates you. Come on, y'all get it now. He hates you. He hates you and he wants to kill you. He'll bind you with the letter. He'll bind you with every kind of goofy thing to get you out of God's hedge of protection. No matter what. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Now the first thing that Satan did was killed his cattle and stuff. Because Job used to offer up every day with the hedge of protection from the blood. But God allowed this to happen. See, God couldn't come against his own word either. So, does everybody understand this? So the first thing Satan had to do, because he didn't get it, maybe God gave him a little bit more wisdom, remove the cattle, Satan. Then the hedge will be lifted. So he wiped out his cattle and all of his livestock. He didn't have anything to offer up. Because he used to offer up every single day to protect his family and all things. Eventually, Job lost everything. It got to the point where it was just him and his wife. And his wife finally said, listen, man, why don't you just curse God and die? Well, she went next. But now I want you to understand something very important here. Because what was happening was Satan was being tormented by the Lord through Job because of his uprightness. Has everybody got it? And as Job went through everything, I mean, he lost everything, he began to pray for his friends. Has everybody got it? He began to pray for his friends. And God began to restore everything. He restored everything. And more. Amen. And more. But see, what really got to Satan was that Job was an upright man. He was an upright man. Blameless. He did not curse God. Has everybody got it? Even his friends are trying to counsel him, and he's just like saying, man, you know what? I'm going to pray for you. He grabbed hold of God and did not let go no matter what. And the Lord brought him through that storm and that flood big time. So everybody got it? And he lost everything. And Satan had to put his tail between his legs and cut off his horns. Because that's how the Lord gets to Satan. Until he can finally get to him when his time is up. So how is he going to get to him? Through me and you. By walking how? Upright. So that's why if he can get you out of the hedge of protection of the Lord, he can attack you. Remember, Job had boils and all kinds of stuff. To where he was scraping things off his body and all kinds of... I'm not going to get into all that. But. Hallelujah. Go to Exodus 12. So the only way that the scripture, no weapon formed against me shall prosper, is by staying in the hedge of the protection of the Lord. Has everybody got it? It's important. And by staying in the hedge of protection of the Lord, you are actually attacking Satan by walking upright. That's what torments him the most. You want to torment the devil? Come on, think about how long he's tormented you. You want to torment the devil? Walk upright. You know, you might think, well, man, walking, how am I? Because it torments him while you walk. How much you get? Look at, when you get around someone and you start telling them the truth, you begin to see them tormented. You can see tormented individuals, can't you? I mean, now the next thing you know, you'd be talking to someone or whatever, and you mention one word of truth, and that truth begins to penetrate. You might find people getting tormented because they're fighting to come against that truth. Has everybody got it? See, that's how the devil torments me and you. He tries to cause a house to be divided because it can't stand. What happens then? The individual usually moves out and walks out of the protection of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. What did I say to go? Exodus 12. Remember, what does the Bible say? It says that Jesus came to bring life and life more abundantly, but the devil came to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. You know, and to think about how many families he stole and killed and destroyed. Amen? And how many is still doing it? Oh, hallelujah. Exodus 12, and let's see, verse 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying what? This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for the household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons, according to each man's need, you shall make your count for the Lord. I mean, for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the what? Doorposts and on the lintels of the houses where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh that night, roasted in fire and unleavened bread, and the bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boil it out with water, at all with water, but roast it in fire, its head with its legs and its entrails. You shall let none of it remain until morning, and whatever remains of it until morning you shall burn with the fire. And thus you shall eat it with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will what? Pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Now that is powerful. Now let me share something else with you. Because of this, see now, you and I are protected by the blood of the Lamb. Right? By faith. See now, that's all you need to do is speak the blood. But the blood is not activated where there is sin, unless repentance comes, then the blood is activated. Okay? Because sin will move you out of the protection of the Lord, out of the hedge of the Lord, right? Idols and so forth. Remember, anxiety will move you out. Why? Because it says that you're walking in the flesh. Amen? And the things of the flesh will move you right out of God's protection. That's why it's so important about walking in the Spirit. So we see here in the Old Testament, this may sound strange, but they did not walk by faith. Faith was not manifested yet. The law was manifested, waiting for faith to come. So they had to do the rituals. That's why the Bible says that Jesus wiped away all the rituals and ordinances. Because now you walk by faith. They couldn't walk by faith then. They had to walk by visitations. That's why there was angels visiting and so forth. And is everybody with me? They'd walk by rituals. They had to put the blood on. They had to do the sacrifices and all these other things. That's why the cloud by day was their protection. The fire by night was their protection. The blood, sacrifices, the lentils, they sprinkled the blood on the altar and on the ark and so forth. All of this was removal of sin and the protection. But again, the cloud of glory that hovered over during the day was their protection. The fire that hovered over at night was their protection. See, now that fire and cloud is in you. Hello. Now we are covered by the Lamb, the high priest that sits next to the power of God, who is the Father. We are protected. We are covered by the Lamb. We are covered by the blood. We are covered by His prayers. Because He makes intercession for me and you. But it's the enemy who will try to woo you out from the protection of the Lord. And the next thing you know, you're getting hit everywhere. Now, it doesn't mean that you won't go through trials and tribulations. See, but while you're going through trials and tribulations, if you're in the protection of the Lord, you have peace that surpasses understanding. In other words, you're not trying to figure out why all this stuff is happening. Come on, are you with me? I mean, people, if you're trying to figure out all the stuff that's happening, then you're out of the protection of God. That peace is gone. But if all this stuff is happening, I mean, everything's crumbling around you and every fiery dart's hitting and you're watching them go by, you know. I mean, you're feeling them hit you, oh, you know. Man, they're hitting everywhere. No matter what, you have peace because you don't need to figure it out why. I ain't figuring it out. Holy Ghost pride. I ain't figuring it out. Can't touch this. Hallelujah. Divinely protected. divinely protected. That's why it's so important about worship, isn't it? Now, man, you gotta. That's why Jesus said, "Deny yourself." Because if you're in it, you ain't protected. You got to be out of it. Worship is so powerful in bringing that protection, because it brings the presence of God. You know, I've shared this before, but, you know, I've seen the protection of the Lord on my life so many times where I should have died. Should have died. Almost hit by cars and all kinds of stuff where, you know, I'm actually paralyzed where I couldn't move. God would not let me take my foot off the clutch. And I couldn't understand it. The next thing I know, this car flies by me about 40 or 50 miles an hour. Protected. I'm telling you, I've seen things. He's protected me from goofy things. Goofy things. You know, I asked the Lord to go before me and so forth. I'm not going to go into some places because of my cousin stumbling by. But anyways, I've just seen His protection on me where I can get away with a lot of stuff. Not because I do it intentionally. Do you know what I'm saying? When I Lord. Oh, I didn't see that officer there. Oh, thank you. Ooh, torobokosia. You know? Hallelujah. You know? I mean, just protecting. You know, just hedge of protection. One time, I'll tell you something powerful. One time I was, I didn't have a vehicle. The Lord just restored my wife and myself. And I didn't want to ask her for nothing because I was still earning her trust. You know, I just come out of the glory of God and divine protection. And so I was going to this class, you know, to try and learn the Bible. And so she let me use her car one night. And I'm just praising and worshiping God. You know, I'm in this little Honda Civic, whatever, or Accord. And I'm going down the East-West Expressway. And I'm not wrong, nice wheels, nice car here. Just, you don't realize how fast you're going. The next thing I know, I see a state trooper behind me. And I look, oh, I'm doing 85. Oh, Lord, I just got my license back about a week. I'm like, oh, nah, this can't be. Lord, I'm going to jail. I'm on probation. Oh, Lord, help. Help, I'm sorry, Lord, I didn't know. And I start to pull, he's getting closer and closer, and I'm pulling over to the side of the road, and I'm like, and I look in my rearview mirror, there he is, lights flash, and I'm going, that's it. I start slowing down, I look in my rearview mirror, and there's another car between me and that state trooper. And I'm thinking, where? No, I heard the Lord go, keep going. I was gone. I said, I ain't going to ask you. I don't have to know. Thank you. That's all I know. I don't know where that Volkswagen came from, but thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And I went to my Bible study. I'm telling you, that car turned up from nowhere. I did not see. I mean, there was just me, that state trooper, and Daddy. That was it. That car just showed up. I started picturing in my spirit, man, that angel's got some good ID. You know, he pulled out, here it is, license, whatever you need, you know. I think, whoa. And I was just thanking the Lord. I mean, I was divinely protected. Amen? Does everybody understand that? Come on, how many times did you go and you heard the Lord say, there's a speed trap up there, slow down. And you see everybody all pulled over to the side of the road and you're driving by. Can't touch this. Why? Because you're divinely protected. Amen? I mean, think about how many times that something's happened, or you just left a place, or you just, and an accident happened, or something terrible, drastic happened, or whatever, divinely protected, and not even realizing it. Man, it could have been me, Lord. Thank you. Why? Because you're walking under the hedge of protection. Amen. But man, you know when you walk out of it. Ooh, chihuahua. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Joshua 7. Everybody knows this. Is everybody okay? Joshua chapter 7. Is everybody there? Now Joshua was leading the Israelites to fight, and the Lord sent them out. And they weren't fighting a big group. In fact, they should have kicked their butt, but they ended up getting their butt kicked. And Joshua came back and said, Lord, wait a minute. Why did you send us out there to lose the battle? Come on, are you going to make fools of us? And Joshua got on his face and crying and throwing dust on his head and stuff, you know. And the Lord said to Joshua in verse 10, he said, get up. Why do you lie thus on your face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken some of the accursed things, and they have both stolen and deceived, and they have also put it among their own stuff. Oh, hallelujah. Hello. You know, let me share with you what an accursed item is, something God says you can't have yet. You know, people are still looking for crossbones and skulls. No, an accursed item is something God has told you you can't have yet. Hello? Until God tells you you can have it, if you get something that God has not told you you can have, it's an accursed item. Does everybody get that? Good. Then get rid of it now. Hallelujah. Therefore the children, verse 12, come on, read it with me. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their what? Now if they couldn't stand before their enemies, why? They walked out of the hedge of protection. Oh. But turn their backs before their enemies because they have become doomed to destruction. Neither will I be with you anymore unless you destroy the accursed from among you. Hello. So accursed items. You know, and you know, one of the things that, you know, I see people fall into, of course, is music. They go from the Holy of Holies to the outer court. Listen, you got to be careful, even Christian music. Christian magazines. You got to be careful. You know? You got to be careful of certain things. That's why it's so important that you get a witness in your spirit. You know, people wonder why that so much stuff is happening to them. And they don't realize it. Well, I'm doing all I'm supposed to do. No, you're not. You're either holding on to something that you're not supposed to have, or you got something that God told you you couldn't get yet. Let me share something with you. When you buy things, and that's why the enemy likes to come with anxiety. Amen? Stress. Because he'll cause you to purchase something, to get something or whatever, before it's God's time. Then you get it, now it becomes a curse to you. Does everybody get this? Man, I see so many people, they can't wait on God. I need to have that car right. I need to have that phone right now. I need to have this right now. Let me tell you something. If God told you you couldn't get it yet, then it's an accursed item. And you're open for all types of demonic activity, and you've walked out of God's hedge of protection. And people wonder why they lose their families. They want, well, I'm not using drugs anymore. I'm not drinking anymore. I'm not fornicating anymore. I'm doing the good things now. No, you're still walking around with accursed items. Hello. You know, a few nights ago, I was watching something, and there was something I said, man, you know what? This would be a good thing. I'd like to buy this. This would really help out in this, and whatever. And I purchased it. And as soon as I purchased it, I got quickened. I didn't tell you could buy that. Whew. Cancel that order. Does everybody understand that? See, now, my flesh, my soulish arena was reasoning. Well, that would be a good thing. Come on. That would help, you know. Then I was like, nope. I didn't tell you you could buy that. Cancel that order. Hello. Has everybody got it? Why? Because it would have been a curse. See, cursed things bring bondage in your life. Think about all the things that brought bondage in your life of material possessions. In fact, some of us are still in bondage because of the things that we purchased when we weren't supposed to. The enemy loves to get people in bondage. That's his job. So cursed items will do that. Go to Psalm 121. Oh, hallelujah. Divinely protected. Psalm 121. So you can't overcome the enemy when you're out of God's hedge of protection. So temptation will overtake you. Temptation will overtake you. In Psalm 121, would you read it with me? I will lift up my eyes to the hills from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in, from this time forth, even from evermore. Now that's powerful. The Lord will preserve you. He preserves you by staying in the hedge of the protection, doesn't he? Amen? Go to Proverbs 2. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 2. Praise God. Would you read verse 8 with me? He what? He guards the path of the righteous and preserves the way of his saints. Oh, hallelujah. So as you continue to walk upright, you're in this hedge of protection, he's going to guard your path and he's going to preserve you. Oh, you don't have to understand it. You don't have to figure it all out. You just need to do it. Amen? You just need to do it. It's called faith. Faith. Go to Revelation 12. No buts. Just do it. Do 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 do. Revelation 12. That's when the Bible tells us in the latter days many will fall from the faith, taking the heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Why? Because they're going to walk out of the protection of the Lord. Walking right out of that hedge. Oh, hallelujah. Revelation 12 and verse 13. Would you read it with me? Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast out to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the child, male child. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and a half time, from the presence of the serpent. So the serpent what? Spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman. Now, the woman also represents the body of Christ. That he might cause her to what? Be carried away by the flood. Do you understand this? But the earth helped the woman, and the And the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So he's after you, man. He's going to spew all over. He's going to try to flood you. That flood of the enemy is going to come and try to move you out of position. It's important that you stand. Amen? It's important that you stand. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Go to John 17. John 17. We are kept by the blood, aren't we? Oh, hallelujah. In John 17. Verse 11. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your what? Name those who you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. We are kept by his name. Amen. We're kept, we're protected by the blood. We're kept and protected by his name. These are all, of course, we know weapons of God for us, isn't it? Amen? We are kept by his word, aren't we? Oh, hallelujah. I want to go to a place here. Where is it? Let's go to 1 John chapter 2. First John chapter 2. You know, that's why the Bible says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. First John chapter 2. Thank you, Lord. Is everybody there? Verse 18. I think it is. First John chapter 2 and verse 18. Yes. Read it with me. Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be manifested, that none of them were of us. Now, look at these are children that walked away from the hedge of protection of the Lord. Why? Because they came to get what they wanted and left. Somebody got it? They used God. And this is what this flood is going to expose. Users of God. Remember, a servant doesn't have a life, does he? Amen. These are users of God. Go to Hebrews 3. Hebrews chapter 3. And verse 12. Everybody there? Let's read it. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you a what? Evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, which is association or fellowship with darkness. For we have become partakers of Christ. What's this one? If. That means you have a choice. If what? We hold on. We hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Hebrews 10. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hebrews 10. Is everybody there? In verse 23. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. In other words, there's no more protection. You walked out of the hedge of protection. But a what? Certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy of who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. He's talking about his people who walked away from the hedge, who willfully sinned, willfully said no. Well, that's it, I'm done. Going back to the world, back to the powers of darkness, willfully. Willfully. You know, and the thing is when an individual does this, I mean, I could go on and on and on, and we're running out of time, so I'm not going to. When an individual does this, it not only affects themselves, but affects everyone else. King David, listen, King David, he was told now to count the people of Israel. The Bible tells us in Chronicles that Satan stood up to David and caused him to count the people. And it moved them right out of the protection of the Lord. The problem is, the Lord spoke to the prophet and told David, okay, here it is. I'm not going to kill you. But you got three choices. There's going to be judgment on your people. Whoa. And he gave him three choices. And the one he chose would be the falling in the hands of God, where famine came and people died. Many people died, and he finally went to the Lord and he cried out. He said, Lord, they're not the ones that did it, but me. But after many people died, in other words, many people are affected by what you and I do. By walking away from that hedge of protection, it affects everyone. That's why Jesus is our covering. Amen? No matter what, you're covered by the Lord. But if you walk away from that protection, you're open. I'm telling you, the devil lurks and waits for you to walk away from that hedge of protection. He waits for you. Then he shoots you with that dart that's got a rope on it and pulls you. Then he shoots you and chains you. And next thing you know, you don't understand what you're doing. You don't know how you got there. And it all took one choice of rejecting Christ. It all took one thing of some of the most goofy, simplest things. But the Bible says, make no place for the devil. Make no place. That's why he says, in a multitude of counsel, there's safety and wisdom. And it's important for assembly, for fellowship. But I'm telling you, even though you're in fellowship, the enemy can still cause you to move out of the hedge of protection. Amen? But through the fellowship, you can learn that you moved out of the hedge of protection and get back in. That's what's so important. Amen? And like I said, I've got a lot more here, but I'm not going to go there. I think we got the understanding about staying in God's hedge of protection. See why? You're, even though sometimes it seems like that hedge of protection has lifted, sometimes, you know, like how, look at how Job felt. I mean, he felt like God rejected him. But he stood on to who he knew God was. He knew God was. See, he had peace during the whole thing. He walked in a little fear or whatever, but he didn't speak against God. Because he knew the Lord would deliver him. In fact, one of the things he said, man, I can't mean with nothing, I'm leaving with nothing. Amen? He said, though you slay, what did David say? Though you slay me, I'll still what? Worship you. These were men of integrity that knew. When they blew it, they repented. When they blew it and didn't know it, and the prophet came to them, they repented. And they were willing to accept their consequences to get back into the hedge of protection. I'd rather fall in the hands of God in judgment than the hands of the world. I'm telling you, we are in the last days and the flood is getting higher. Within another 2 to 3 weeks, you're going to find it's getting higher. I'm not just speaking this in. It's something the Spirit has given me. You're seeing more and more. Look at what's going on. Listen, the flood of the enemy is not only affecting the body of Christ, but look at how much it's affecting the world. Wow. Now listen. The flood of the enemy tries to drown the children of God and uplift evil. Do y'all understand that? The flood of the enemy will try to drown the children of God but uplift the evil. It's like a raft has been given to the evil to float on the flood where the children of God are going to be tried to drown. But the Bible says that you and I can walk on water. Amen. I'm going to walk on the water with you. Hallelujah. Amen. So walk on the water. Walk on that flood. Jesus said that he gives us, we should be like eagles flying above all of this. You know? So whatever it is God is dealing with you to get back under that hedge of protection, get rid of the cigarettes, get rid of all the other garbage that you know. Whatever it is that you're holding on to, get rid of it. Because you can't blame God when you get wiped out. Amen? Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for who you are. We thank you, Lord. And Lord, we repent for anything that's gotten in our way of walking out of that hedge of protection, that glorious hedge of protection. Please, we ask that you continue to hide us in that secret place with you. Feed us from your throne room and establish us for your glory. In Jesus' name.